This is HDN.
August 25th, Jamie and Lisa in the Beaver Bank Bunker.
Hey, Big Brother Canada is coming back, and they are looking for house guests and looking for them now.
Would you be able to go on to that show?
I would not. You would be able to.
And no, I wouldn't. You know
you
why?
You don't think you'd be able
no,
to?
No, watching it, I've finally come to the conclusion that I would not be able to be on that.
Why?
Because there's no place to pick your butt. Like, you know, seriously.
Go into the bathroom stall.
No, they've got them in the bathroom. And you know, and that's another thing. How many people do they have at the house there at the very beginning? Quite a few.
Mm.
The bathroom doesn't look all that big.
No.
You know, I had problems growing up with just two brothers. But being in a house like that, having to share the stall and to have people walking in while you're doing... You know me.
You take a dump for 3 months.
I like to have my bathroom alone bathroom time.
It was not just the bathroom. You like to have the entire house vacated when you decide to use the bathroom.
Well, yeah.
You have very shy bowels.
No, my bowels aren't shy. I just don't like my bowels showing off with other people around. How about that?
You don't like them to put on a show.
Yeah, they put on quite... No, I like my alone time.
Yeah.
I definitely do. That's okay. Right off the bat, we're going into another tangent.
Sure, we're here.
You know what bugs me?
Mm.
People that don't take a dump until they get to work.
Oh, God.
My dad was like that.
What?
Yeah. Believe it or not, like I didn't even think my dad ever went to the bathroom. He went to work, and that was part of his routine. He got to work early. He had his coffee. He went into the washroom there, and he did his thing. That is so against everything that I stand for. I did not know he did this until much later in life.
Really?
Do it at home, people. Don't do it on company time. And think about all the other people. Oh, Sackville Sports Stadium. I go in there after a workout. There's a shower on one side, so you can smell kind of shampoo and soap. And plus, you know, there's that people just working out smell.
Yeah.
No problem at all. But every once in a while, some guy will go in there and just decide that he is going to use that as his personal bathroom. Yes, there's a stall in there, but excuse me, you stink up the whole entire place. And all these people are trying to change their clothes, going like, oh, God.
But you speak, you make it sound as if it's something that people can regulate.
Well, like, yeah, you do
I
regulate
mean,
it.
I know.
No, you do regulate it. You can definitely regulate your bowels. You do it once a day at the same time or twice a day at the same time. You do that. You don't just leave it to chance. You regulate your bowels. I don't think you're there, you know, driving to work halfway. You're going, oh, God, I should have done that before I left. I mean... You regulate your bowels. And if you get into a routine where you go to the gym, and I know people who do this, they go to the gym, they work out, they take a dump, and then they have a shower. Great. I'm glad you're regular, but you're screwing up everybody else's life because that is ripe. That is disgusting. And there have been times where I just cannot handle being in that dressing room.
So what you're saying is that poo is something that should be left for home and that's it.
Well, you have a toilet in public places, but for an emergency purpose. I've gone and, hey, I took a dump in the Louvre. I needed to, but only if you have to. Don't make that part of your routine.
Right.
How many people do you know that go into work, punch the clock or whatever, grab the newspaper, go into the public washroom and decide to evacuate their bowels? Like,
oh.
And they do it every single day.
Yes.
Well, that to me is the most selfish thing in the world because you're stinking up that room for everybody else. Do it in your own home. Leave your stink at home. Don't bring it to work. Oh, that bothers me so much. How selfish do you have to be to say, no, this is company time, but I'm using this so you guys will have a horrible, miserable experience when you go in to urinate, to wash your hands, to check makeup. Like, leave it at home. You don't see my point there at all.
Well, no, I'm just saying that from my perspective, sometimes it's not always possible. I mean, I don't carve out time during my day.
Well, you should.
It's just one of those things that I go about my business during the day and then all of a sudden
you can't leave crap like that to chance, no pun intended.
You get that feeling and go, oh,
okay. What do you do when you're about to take a flight? Do you think far enough ahead so you go, okay, I better go now because I don't want to on that 6-hour flight? Or do you just leave it to chance and then 3 hours into the flight you go, uh-oh, I've got to go and stink up the entire airplane tiny little bathroom for everybody else to use because Lisa decided that she didn't want to go to the bathroom before she left.
I try my best, but it doesn't always happen that way.
I mean, okay, if you've got a bad case of food poisoning or something and there's something in there that's coming out, you got to go. That's when you use the public washrooms. And I hate doing that. Oh, I hate it. Every time somebody walks in there, I go, oh God, please leave so I can, like, I just don't want to bring attention to myself.
Right.
And I mean, that's my own thing.
And so for that reason and that reason alone, you will give up the $500,000 or whatever it is they pay on Big Brother.
Oh, could you imagine? That's like, for what, 3 months of that? Mm. I'm just talking one day here or one flight or whatever. 3 months of having to share a washroom with other people.
Yep.
I would go in the middle of the night and everybody would get suspicious thinking that I'm scheming something. It's like, yeah. No, I just want to take a dump without everybody hanging around, people walking in and out and stuff. Can I just have my alone time in the bathroom, please?
BigBrotherCanada.ca.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Sorry. We're talking about Big Brother here.
Yes, we were. If you want to apply to be a house guest to audition, BigBrotherCanada.ca. Or you can do it in person because they're going to be doing casting calls right across the country this fall. And now the submission deadline for the online, and not only is the application a must, but also you have to record a short video about why you would make the perfect house guest. That is due on November the 24th, and they are actually going to be coming to Halifax October 24th for the open casting calls. No details yet on the where's and what times, that sort of thing. But I will let you know as soon as I find out. So what are your thoughts on the internet? Is the internet now a basic human right? There were a bunch of protesters in Halifax the other day that think it is. And they were protesting to draw attention to, $10 internet for low-income families. And they said that families and individuals that fall below the $30,000 a year mark often don't have enough money to pay for high-speed internet and a computer they can use at home, and that leaves them at a definite disadvantage. They say they are our next generation. We need them to succeed, and how can they if they don't have the resources or the tools to make a difference?
Okay, here's a question for you. Now, those families that can't afford the internet, do they have a television? Do they have cable? I mean, where do you put the line? I mean, is that a basic human need too? Television, cable?
Interesting. Well, the group's also calling on companies like Bell and Alliant, like Bell Alliant, to offer $10 a month web service and subsidize computers or tablets, hoping that these companies choose people over profit.
I think people are just wanting something for free. I think the internet is a luxury. Mm-hmm. And if it is really a basic human need, you can go to the library and get online there.
Yes.
Or there are so many other places that you can get online.
Cap centers. Yep.
Starbucks.
Well, they don't have the...
They have Wi-Fi.
They have Wi-Fi, but you need the hardware in order to do it. I mean, you need a laptop or a tablet.
Oh, okay. So computers, not just the internet, but computers
are now
the luxury.
They want them to subsidize computers or tablets as well.
Back in my day,
yeah,
not all that long ago, we didn't need computers at all.
But, I mean, definitely it is a must now if you are applying for jobs.
Okay, you can do that at the library for sure.
Or places like Job Junction. Yeah.
There are places where you can get online. And for the kids, these poor kids that need the internet, school has the internet there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go there. I don't want to sound like I have no compassion whatsoever.
Right.
But I just want to know, where do you draw the line? I think people have that I'm entitled to my entitlements type of attitude, and they assume that everything is a God-given right. And it's really not.
Mm. Okay. So this past weekend, Nova Scotia moved into the realm of 10-digit dialing. We now have to dial 902 before every local call. And thought it might be a good idea to run through the history of the area code and why it was developed. 1947. States and provinces that had a single area code were given a 3-digit code that had 0 in the middle. So, Nova Scotia, for example, one area code for the whole province, 902.
Mm-hmm.
Florida, 305.
604, British Columbia.
Right.
403 was Alberta and the Northwest Territories.
That's right. 506, that was New Brunswick. So that was like back in 1947, there was only 86 area codes at the time. Now, states and provinces that had more than one area code to them, they were given this 3-digit code, but they had 1 as the middle number. So, for example, 916 and 213 for various sections of California, 416 for Toronto, and so that indicated that there was more than one area code for Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first and third digits were given out according to the population density. So the most populated areas got the lowest numbers. So, for example, New York, 212. The surrounding areas that were less populated were given 914. Now, the rationale for this low number, high population scheme, the fact that phones had rotary dials in those days and the lower numbers resulted in shorter dial pulls. So basically, it took less time for you to dial that number. I know it doesn't make much sense.
Well, it does if you're living in New York and you don't want to dial the phone because you're a big lazy shit.
Well, yeah. And you're a busy person. You've got places to go, people to see, and things to do. So there you go. That's a little bit of the...
That always got me wondering about the emergency number in England. Because here it's 911.
Mm-hmm.
In England, it's 999. Can you think of a harder and longer, more frustrating number to dial on a rotary phone than 999?
Oh, back in the day, yeah.
Well, yeah, you have a rotary phone. It's like... That's the sound of my rotary phone thing. And then you got to do it three times. Like, if I'm having a heart attack, it would be tough enough for me to do 911, let alone 999.
Yeah, good point.
I used to dial people's numbers just by clicking down the receiver back in the old rotary days.
What do you mean?
You know, where you hang the phone up, the little knob there that you put the phone onto. If you clicked it with your finger, you could actually dial, like 434, you go click, 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 click. Click, 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 click. And if you did it fast enough with your finger, you could actually dial the phone number just by almost like Morse code.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I used to dial people's numbers like that all the time when I was a kid.
Oh, my God.
You probably still do it.
I had no idea.
But only if you can find a phone that still has...
A dial.
No, you wouldn't need a dial. You just need you'd need something that actually physically you could hang up.
Yeah, I suppose that old, yeah. It's got the cradle. Huh.
There, you used to be able to dial 8181. That was the number that telephone technicians would use just to see if the phone was working.
Mm-hmm.
You'd dial 8181, and then you'd hang up, and your phone would ring. It would go to the phone company and then bounce back and ring that phone. So, of course, our family used to use that. That was probably the original intercom.
Yeah.
If we were in the basement, it's like 8181, and they hang it up, and it rings and rings and rings until it stops ringing. Then you pick the phone up and go, "Hi, Mom.
Oh, my God.
Can we get some bottles of pop down here, please?"
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. That's what we used to use.
Holy jumping.
I don't think we were alone, too, because they quickly changed that number, and then it became a secret private thing. And No one ever knew about it again. Yeah.
Oh, God. So you remember back in May, Prince Charles and Camilla visited Halifax.
Yes.
And they took a spin through the Seaport Farmers Market, met a lot of the vendors there. One of the vendors that they met was Bavarian cake lady Ingrid Dunsworth, and she actually spent 15 hours making special cakes for them and delivered them to the Duchess and the Prince, and turns out that she has now been invited to bake for them at the Royal Palace at Clarence House, and I guess... she took the initiative, first of all. She tracked down his address at Clarence House and sent the Royal Highnesses a carefully packaged gingerbread heart and gluten-free chocolate hazelnut cake. 2 weeks later, she got an email from the estate manager from Highgrove saying that Charles and Camilla had been deeply touched by her generous package and then invited her to a private tour of the gardens at Highgrove Estate. So, lo and behold, she has been invited. She is going to be baking for them as well. And now she's got to pay for the whole trip over there. But, whoa, what a nice little feather in her cap.
Yeah, really.
Hey, have you had any corn this year, so far
this year? Yeah, yummy.
Well, tell you, farmers in Nova Scotia are reporting an excellent corn crop this season. They say it's been good growing weather throughout the summer. The corn is looking pretty good. The fields are in good shape, and they're actually, their yields are up by about 50% this year. So fingers crossed the weather will hold. They're saying it is a good sweet corn that is on the cob this year. Well, an international trend finally made its way to Halifax this past weekend. Dîner en Blanc is the pop-up picnic that started, I do believe, in Paris. They did it in front of the Louvre a couple of years ago. And basically guests dress all in white and bring their own gourmet picnic baskets. And then they all sit as one and enjoy dinner. And so they decided to hold one in Halifax. And on Saturday night, the guests gathered. They had no idea where they were going. They got on buses and were dropped off, lo and behold, in the courtyard of the University of King's College. Perfect location for it. It's kind of secluded, but still in the middle of the city.
Yeah.
Yeah, so pretty neat to see. Hopefully they'll do it again next year. And Justin Trudeau paying us a visit here in Nova Scotia today.
Oh.
Yeah, this morning down Bridgewater area, addressing the area Chamber of Commerce. Then he's going to be chatting with some folks down Lunenburg. And then this afternoon, this will be interesting, at Palooka's gym on the Bedford Highway. He's going to be sparring with former competitive boxer Mickey McDonald. So I'm sure we'll get some pictures out of that.
Yeah. And that is it for this Monday edition of the Halifax Daily News. Look at that. I did two rants already and a lot of good information.
Not even Tuesday.
I'm tired, but we'll be back on Tuesday.
Until then.